Our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, in this place with us here today. I am Reverend Corrine Borif, and helping me lead worship today will be Jim Ault, Dorinda Cassidy. The music will be offered by our talented sanctuary choir. If you have yet to return an estimate of giving card for our 2025 ministries, we ask that you have time to do so and turn those in. You may place them in the wooden boxes at the back. You're welcome to do so. There are cards available there and also at the Welcome Center. This morning, we are joyfully welcoming Pat Walker into membership in the life of the church. We'll do that later in the service. Charge Conference is this afternoon. You've been hearing a lot about it. And if you've thought to yourself, you know, I'd like to participate in the worship by holding up an object for people to see what we are and who we are, I have offered some objects for you. They are in the conference room. This is one of those that will be in there. This I have tagged just, we share our time. And so if you would like to hold this during that worship service, that would be a great opportunity to do so. I ask that you put a little blue post-it. They are available in there for you. But place a post-it in there and on the object that you want to reserve as yours for our 2 o'clock worship service for Charge Conference. Again, if you need to leave following the worship service, you are welcome to do so, but also invite you to stay. There will be some new information that is new to everyone in the conference, and you'll have the firsthand experience at receiving that new information. So join us, and there is an opportunity for you to participate. Next week is a full week. On Tuesday, the Bible Challenge question and answer time will meet together on Tuesday at 6 p.m. This is for any of you who have read through the book of Ephesians, and we'll just share a brief conversation and answer any questions and discussion that you might want to bring to that time together. The Joy Lunch is on Friday. Ellen Rhodes will present a program, she said, both words and music for her program entitled, How Do I Go On? The Joy Lunch, again, Friday at 11:30. You're invited to make your reservation for the Joy Lunch by Wednesday of this week. The Fall Festival, then, is Saturday. This is a big event. Allie Hall is instrumental in organizing this. Many of you have volunteered. I think she still will take volunteers if you haven't yet. She has opportunities to help. That event will be from noon to 2 p.m. at Davis Park, and there's a lot. There's a lot of things for every age group, so please come out and join us for the Fall Festival. And our pathway that we share together, we serve God by living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. Thank you. As you return to your seat, let us center our hearts for worship.
Would you stand if you're able to join in the call to worship? Today, God's word will be spoken to our hearts. Open our ears and our hearts to receive God's word. Today, God's love will be poured into your life. Prepare us, Lord, to receive your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
It is my privilege this morning to invite Pat Walker to come forward with any friends or family that you might have with you today. Join me up here. As she's coming forward, I have some information to share that she offered about herself. I grew up on the shore of Lake Michigan in northwest Indiana. I am a second-generation Italian, Irish, Slovakian American. I was married for 27 years and have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. I am a retired 3rd and 4th grade teacher and a learning practicing artist. Nature, flower, trees are a passion, as well as reading novels and mysteries. I am a lifelong Christian and was baptized in the Catholic Church at 5 days old. I was raised there until I got married to my Methodist husband. I spent 35 years in a Methodist mission-oriented church in Indianapolis. I came to Anderson seeking a like-minded church. And when I discovered First Methodist and its highly diversified and effective outreach programs, I gladly chose to worship and serve here. I love the teaching sermons, the awesome music varieties, and the opportunities to grow in spirit and in service to our community and our fellow members. I am the leader of a community cafe team, a greeter, a member of our book club, and the new chairperson of our Women's Friendship Bible Group. We rejoice in Pat's decision to make her participation official as part of the body of Christ at Anderson First United Methodist Church. The United Methodist Church does not rebaptize those who have already received Christian baptism in any form. Therefore, Pat, I ask you questions of faith, not as a test, but as a way for you to express the grace of God at work in your heart and reaffirm your baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, respond, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, respond, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, respond, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If so, respond, I will. As a member of Anderson First United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, respond, I will. Praise God. Body of Christ, would you please stand? Members of the household of God, I commend Pat Walker to your love and care. Do you promise to keep her in your prayers, minister beside her, and nurture her in her faith? If so, respond, I will. Do you renew your covenant with God to faithfully participate alongside Pat by participating in the ministries of this church through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, respond, with God's help, I will.
With God's help, I will.
Let us pray. God of all grace, you have called us to eternal glory in Christ, that we may be established and strengthened in you. Bless Pat as she walks each day closer to you, and each member of this body who renewed their faith to recommit their lives to your work by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen. You may be seated. Let us welcome Pat Walker.
Good morning. I decided to accept the assignment because it sounded so easy. What do I appreciate about this church? That was the assignment. And it really is easy, honestly. I could easily list all the wonderful things that we hear about, we participate in, or we just observe around here. Clearly, we're regularly updated, especially in this season of harvest. You know, harvesting those pledge cards last week. I know we all do better remembering stories, though, than we do remembering a list. So I would like to share with you a story, except it's true, and it's also something a bit different, and it also doesn't have a list. I've been blessed being allowed to be in the lives of several young ladies. One in particular is not churched, was not raised in any faith tradition. Honestly, doesn't have a lot of confidence in church or religion, especially in the current environment. She knew I was involved in a church sort of thing, and that was the extent of our conversations about church. One day she called me explaining that another one young lady that we both knew was in trouble. Trouble being that she needed to escape an abusive relationship, but she was tethered to her two young children. My friend was seeking advice about her moving her friend into her own home. We spoke about boundaries, time frame, codependency, money, privacy issues, as well as the psychological burden this would put in her own home. Ugh, that sounded like a list. I listened as she explained the very delicate escape plan that they had put together. It would take place within the next 24 hours. I heard the stress in her voice as she added, Mrs. C, they're going to come with nothing. We can't risk packing stuff, not even diapers. So we patched together a care package plan, including some soft, cuddly toys for the kids. But we also knew this was only stopgap, and neither of us were sure where this was going to go. But we knew for now secrecy meant safety, and that was our concern. Before I retired from teaching, I had a who you gonna call list. It was a phone list in my desk drawer, but that was long gone. I took a deep breath and I exhaled with, okay, look, my church does a lot of outreach. I bet they can at least help with the diapers. I heard on the other side of the line, well, sure, I'll call your church, give me the number. I had no idea if she was just swatting off my suggestion or if she would actually call. We completed my part of the plan, and we hung up. Within an hour, she was calling me back. Her voice was nearly breathless as she told me, well, I called that church. I told the woman that answered the phone that I needed diapers right away, asking for a friend. And then I realized instantly how really corny that must have sounded, so I filled in the rest with a real fast bit of the backstory. And the woman said, oh, I see. I was ready to get some runaround about paperwork and all. You know, you were in the system. Well, that woman told me about a place that I could get diapers today. And I was thanking her so much because I was so happy just to have the diapers online. And I was getting ready to hang up when she interrupted me saying, now, you just wait a minute. Don't you dare hang up on me. I have more. Get a pencil and paper. I'm going to be giving you numbers of places that will help. And that followed a long list of exactly everything we need. Actually, things I haven't thought about that we'd need, but now I see we certainly will. So now, Mrs. C., I feel so empowered knowing where to begin and that there are places that would help. And then she said, I wish I could remember her name, that woman. She was perfect. No judgment, just help. Her voice was so raspy. How funny that God, she actually said the word God, would work in such a voice. Yes, God would use Louise Melander's raspy voice to direct another woman who was just wanting to help out another woman. Because that's the fabric of God's love, and that's the fabric of this church. Years later, my young friend would have her office in the Union Building here in downtown Anderson. And she would hear the church carillon bells at noon. More than once, she remarked to me, it's just a friendly reminder of that day that she heard God's voice in a raspy voice instead of the airy music. And I had the added pleasure of sharing with Louise during one of our lunches what an impression she had made, that she had offered so much more than was being sought. She asked me how I knew that it was her, and I smiled and I said, well, the woman had a raspy voice. She started laughing just as you did, and she said, well, yes, that would be me. So that is my story of what I appreciate about this church. She takes our raspy voices, and she uses them to deliver bountiful message to strangers and to the friends among us. And she offers us far more than is being sought, because we, just like my young friend, we are so often unaware of what we will really be needing.
Let us sing to Jesus.
God of all goodness and grace, receive the gifts we offer and grant that this church may continue to bless each of us, the member and the stranger. May our words and our works glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you bow your heads and join me in prayer? Lord, we come here today in fellowship with one another, setting aside this time for you, to offer you praise and worship, to hear you speak to us, and to leave here shaped a little bit more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we come humbly and quietly before you in prayer. Oh God, we thank you for those times this week where we smiled and laughed, those times of friendship enjoyed, of meals shared, those times when we appreciated the beauty of nature, when we felt at peace in our hearts, when we paused to be grateful for the life you have given us. For all of these, and so much more, we know that we are blessed. For the days of difficulty and struggle, for the times when we have been less than our best, we give you thanks that you do not turn away from us and we are never alone. Remind those suffering in the midst of war, those dealing with the tragedy of national disasters, and those grieving loss, they are not alone. Lord, for those who are sick, suffering, lonely, misguided, or just in need of your presence, we ask that you would touch them with your healing, with your guidance, and with your peace. We lift to you our country and its leaders. We seek your wisdom as we face a presidential election. We pray that wisdom, vision, and collaboration will prevail. We ask that this church be a strong and vital church in our community. We want to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. The need for hope, acceptance, love, and compassion is great, and you are the answer to those needs. Help us to show others the way to you through our programs, through our ministries, and most of all, through our lives and our example. Lord, for the confidence and joy and hope we have because we walk daily with you, we give you thanks and praise in the name of the Son who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Standing for the scripture lessons, the first from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home amongst us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. In the New Testament, First Peter chapter 1, verse 23, "For you have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God." And from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most." This is God's words for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to invite you to join me in a little bit of a quiz, and that is, the quiz is on McDonald's Big Mac. Okay? I want to invite you to say all seven ingredients with me. Okay? Say it out loud. Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onion on a
sesame seed bun.
You know it, right? Do you know that 80% of Americans know that? They can recite it. Even the littles know that one. However, another startling statistic, less than 20% of Americans can recite the Ten Commandments. What that tells us about us is we Americans know our hamburgers. We're a little bit shaky when it comes to the Bible. Right? We don't have as much experience in the Bible. There is a group, they call themselves the State of the Bible investigators. They study this, and annually they put out a report. The report that came out for 2023 said that in their findings, 39% of Americans read the Bible about three times a year. That's pretty startling. And that is the lowest that it has been in all 13 years that they have done this study. A year to read the Bible. Folks, we are very intentional here. You may notice that we print scripture in our bulletin. We have it in paper. We put it up on the screen. You're ahead of the curve, folks. If you come to worship every week, you're reading the Bible once a week, at least. My hope is that bulletins would go home with people. The idea is that those scriptures are right there. You don't even have to open up a Bible. You don't even have to get your app open on your telephone or your computer. It's right there. And you can study through that, read through it, remember those scriptures, and let them speak to you throughout the week to come. That's the reason they're there, not just to fill up space. Scripture is something that is important, and we know it. In the church, we refer to that as God's Word. And actually, the Bible, we don't worship the Bible. In fact, there is an idolatry for that. It's called bibliolatry for people that worship the Bible. We instead worship the God whose words are found in the Bible. And it's a God who continues to speak every moment of every day. And we have information that we have participated in this morning. We've heard about God's word in our hymn that we sang, Thy Word. That is from the words from Psalm 119 out of Scripture. It is a guide to us, that God guides us through those words that God speaks to our hearts. And then we have in John chapter 1:14, we heard that the Word became human. We hear that every Christmas, and it never ceases to just amaze me, the power of God's Word. It walked among us, folks. Powerful. And then we have in our 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 passage, we have there that our new life comes from the eternal living Word of God. What a gift we have. And then our Hebrews 4 passage, verses 12 through 16, we hear that the Word of God is alive. It's active, powerful, and it's sharp. We have a lot that about the Word of God for us. And I just want to take, because Hebrews 4 talks about the Word of God for us and how it can impact. And I want to just lift out those for us this morning. First of all, the Word of God is truly alive. The Word of God, I've had people talk to me about the Bible. You know, well, why bother reading the Bible? Folks, it is what we call a living Word. God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to us through the Word. When we allow it to enter into us, it makes an impact in our lives. But God's Word is an eternal seed. It grows. Anything that grows is living, right? It grows and it is living. There was a scientist, a medical person doing research in Israel, and she had heard about ancient times that there were used to be a date palm in Israel. None existed when she began her research, and she was wanting, because they were supposed to have a lot of medicinal uses, and she wanted to figure out this date palm, but of course there were none around to do research on. And then she discovered there were archaeologists working around the Dead Sea, and this is where those date palm groves used to be. They discovered seeds. Now, if you've been to the Dead Sea or you know anything about it, it's one of the most beautiful bodies of water I've ever seen. I thought it'd be dead things floating around in it, but it's not. It's beautiful. It's just filled with salt and minerals, so nearly nothing can live in it. And these seeds were found around this area of the Dead Sea, and they had been archived and put away into research and all of that. Well, this her name was Shannon, and she decided to go approach the archaeologists, see if she might get a few of those seeds. She said, I wanted to see if they would grow. These seeds are over 2,000 years old, and they laughed at her. And she persisted, and finally, they gave her a few of these precious seeds. 6 weeks after being planted, they sprouted. These seeds sprouted. Now, there are 6 additional trees that have grown from those original seeds that sprouted and the seeds that they provided have grown 6 additional plants. Those are the first that have grown in Israel for 2,000 years. But the point is, often God's word is described as an imperishable seed. In other words, an eternal seed. That's how Scripture describes it. The eternal living word of God. The eternal seed is a description of God's word being alive and growing. God's word also is active, is powerful. God's word affects our lives. I mean, if God's word is truly growing within us, it will change us. There is a friend told me once, be careful, there ought to be a warning label on the Bible. Caution, opening this and reading this word of God because it will change you. A warning label. And it does. It impacts our lives and makes a difference. It affects who we are and how we live when we allow it to enter into us. There was a mountain climber, a pair of men who climbed up to the top of Mount Rainier. And on their way down, they fell into a crevasse, an ice crevice that had just opened up enough for them to fall into it. And one of the climbers died. And on that very same ice ledge, the other one was crumpled there, bleeding and broken, but he was alive. His name was John, and John said, I was determined to live and get out of there. He had no experience of climbing on ice, and it was just sheer ice all the way up to the top. And a day later, bleeding, exhausted, broken, he had broken parts of his body in the fall, he made it to the top. And when he was asked how he made it to the top, he said, I don't know why. I just remembered this Bible verse that I learned as a kid, very begrudgingly learned as a kid. And it was from Philippians 4:13, and it said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I did. The word of God is powerful. It is alive. And it grows in us. The word of God is also sharp. And this one is hard to hear sometimes. It's not what we want to imagine a loving, forgiving God to have God's word be sharp. And I don't know if you've experienced it like I have, but I can read through Scripture, and I read through Scripture at times, and I'm kind of in a mood. And the words of Scripture where it says, love your enemy, it's like, ouch, I'm not feeling very loving right now. Or, you know, to give all that I have to others, it's like, oh, really? Do I have to? Ouch. But what this says in Hebrews is it's not just a prick on the finger kind of ouch that the word of God brings about in our lives. The word of God cuts deep. Deep, deep, deep within us and exposes everything. The metaphor for the word of God is a double-edged sword. Now, why in the world is it so important for the author of Hebrews to mention that it's a double-edged sword? In that time, the Romans had just developed the double-edged sword. It was such a phenomenon in that day in warfare. It was kind of like the atomic bomb of their day. It made that much difference. It was a powerful weapon. The author is emphasizing the fact that God's word is powerful. It cuts deep so that it exposes all of our bad attitudes, all of our greed, all of our hatred, all of our selfishness. All those things that we really try not to let anybody else see, even though we know they're in there. We don't want anybody to see them, and especially not God, right? God's word exposes us exactly for who we are. Lays us wide open so there's nothing that we can hide from our God. The double-edged sword, the powerful word of God, is not intended, though, to be used as the sword of the Romans. It wasn't used to destroy and take a life. It's used to discern and give life. We heard in our 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 passage, our new life is eternal through the eternal living Word of God. God is gifting us new life for eternity by exposing who we are that we may change. God isn't using the sword to destroy us. He's using the sword image, the word of God, to cut us as a surgeon would to remove cancer from our body. That's what God is doing. He cares about who we are and who we are becoming and wants to heal us. This is the power of God's word. It is alive. It is active and powerful. And it can be sharp. But in order that it may be life-giving. There was a Sunday school teacher trying to get this idea of God's grace. That we are given this new life through God's word and God's grace. And she said, you know, kids, if I sold everything I have, I'm going to sell my car, I'm going to sell my house, I'm going to sell everything that I have, all of my belongings, and I'm going to give it to the poor. Will that get me to heaven? No, said the kids. Oh, they're getting it. And she said, okay, so then if I go and do everything that the church has to offer, I'm going to help with the mission meals, I'm going to sing in the choir, I'm going to attend every Sunday of worship, I'm going to clean. I will clean anything and everything in the church so that it's welcoming to those who come into the church. Will I go to heaven? No, said the kids. They're getting it. And then she said, so what do I do to go to heaven? And one little boy said, well, you've got to be dead. Kind of missed the point, right? True. But you receive the gift of God's grace through the living word of God. And I can hear somebody who's right there with me saying, well, wait a minute, I thought the gift of grace was from Jesus Christ. Look at John 1, verse 14. The Word became human. That's Christ. It's through the living Word of God that we have this gift of grace. There was a lady who was talking to a friend and said, you know, I have read through the Bible over and over and over and over. I've never received any inspiration. It's never changed me. And the friend said, let the Bible in. Work through you. Not just read through the pages. Let the Bible work through you, and you'll be telling a completely different story. God's Word is alive. It's active and powerful. It's sharp, that it may truly heal us and give us eternal life. Let us sing together, Jesus Shall Reign. Invite you to go now in the knowledge that the living, eternal Word of God is in you. Allow God to continue to heal you, continue to grow in you, that you may become all that God has in store for you. Amen.